Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On Tuesday, we've arrived. It's time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly, taking you for the next 2 hours. We are with you until 8 o'clock this evening. And then at 8 o'clock, it is the Gas House Gang, which tonight is going to feature Tom Ackerman and Kevin Wheeler. In my 2 hours with you, we've got a lot to get to. It's actually been kind of a busy sports news day. Here in the first hour, we're really going to focus in on, from a baseball standpoint, the players the Cardinals choose to protect on their 40-man roster, making them ineligible to be picked up in the Rule 5 draft by other organizations. Well, also, the breaking news of the moment is that Cleveland manager Stephen Vogt and Milwaukee manager Pat Murphy have been named the respective managers of the year. That news is coming down over the last half hour or so. So we'll get into that. And then hockey-wise, we got to talk through the big news today that Robert Thomas is back. What an incredible timeline for him to be able to return. When he got injured, the thought was that he was going to probably miss... They said 4 to 6 weeks. That was what the Blues said, but other experts out there were saying 6 to 8 weeks. It felt like there was a good chance that this was going to be a two-month kind of injury with his ankle, and just short of 1 month and only 12 games missed, he's back tonight. He's back. And this is hopefully this gives the Blues the kind of bump that we are looking for them to have. He is back. You know, just with him back in the lineup, everything just kind of looks better. You know, all of a sudden that top line with Thomas, Buchnevich, and Kyrou, you feel like that's a dangerous line. That second line with Shin, Sod, and Neighbors, you feel good about that. All of a sudden, you know, Dylan Holloway is your third line center. That's respectable. Like, it just, everything else kind of falls into place. It's incredible and amazing how one player can impact so many things. I feel so much better about just looking at this Blues team with Thomas in the lineup as opposed to him not being there. So that's great news. Kapanen was put on waivers. He's been picked up, so he's no longer in the organization. That's the cost of these type of things. And bluntly and honestly, when you've had the start to the season the Blues have had, and when you've had not even the record standpoint, I'm still not bothered by the record. I'm more bothered by some of the individual game performances that we've talked about and some things that have happened. At some point, it needs to be more than just guys not suiting up one night. It needs to be more than that. And Kasperi Kapanen's the first kind of casualty of all that. It's connected to needing his roster spot, but it doesn't bother me at all that they move on from him. And I don't know. We'll see what happens here moving forward. Again, you really hope that this team get some sort of a emotional bump from that. We'll hear from Drew Bannister. We'll hear from Robert Thomas coming up later on this hour. As always, if you want to chime in, texting, tweeting, the best way to do it, 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. If you tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. So let's get to the Cardinals news of the day, though. And that is the players that they elect to protect by placing them onto the 40-man roster. And with that, they can now not be selected in the upcoming Rule 5 draft. Two of these names were absolute no-brainers. We knew from the moment that the season came to an end and that there were guys that they were going to have to protect, we always knew that pitcher Tink Hintz and pitcher Tekoa Roby were going to be on this list. Very clear, obviously, two of the top pitching prospects in the organization, Quinn Matthews being the other, but Hintz and Roby, you can easily make the argument that they, along with Matthews, are the top three pitching prospects in the organization. And the good news when it comes to that is we will probably see all three of those guys in the big leagues at some point this upcoming season. I guess Roby would be the one that maybe there's a little bit of a question on, but I think in all likelihood Roby gets there this year. Certainly Hintz does. You got to get Hintz to the big leagues this year somehow, some way. Probably as a reliever. That's kind of what I think it's going to turn into, but I could be wrong on that. Maybe they do get him up as a starter. And obviously, Quinn Matthews is going to be in that starting rotation before we know it. So that's good news for the in a year where you're going through a reset, in a year where you're handing things off to younger players, it's a very good thing that some of your top prospects from a pitching standpoint are ready to graduate to the big leagues. And those guys are just about there. The other two, one of them is a pitcher in Matt Svaanson. And I'm fine with that. Like Svaanson, he was acquired in the Paul DeJong trade when he went to the Toronto Blue Jays. He's someone that profiles out as, at least for his next step, he's somebody who profiles out that they're going to have a need for a relief pitcher at some point in the season, and he's going to be pitching well at Memphis, and he's going to get that opportunity. You know, the way it went down this past year with a Chris Roycroft or a Ryan Lewis, like those kind of guys. That next guy at Memphis who's going to be in the bullpen, Kyle Leahy. And I think he has more upside than some of these names that I'm mentioning right now. But that's sort of, I don't think Svaanson's going to make the club out of spring training, but I think he's going to be ready to help this club at some point during the year. And then outfielder Matt Kupierniak, which Kevin Wheeler and I talked about this a little bit when we did sports at 5:15 during Total Information PM. You have to have guys at AAA who, if you call them up to the big leagues, they're not going to embarrass themselves. That they're going to go out and they're going to, you know, play a position well. They're going to give you, they're going to compete in at bats, that they can sit on the bench for a few days and they can, you know, come up for a pinch hit or come up for a late appearance at the plate, and they're not going to embarrass themselves. Like that, to me, that's kind of what Matt Kupierniak has turned himself into. And Kupierniak is a fantastic story. Undrafted free agent, played college at a D3 school in Connecticut and never really had prospect status, but slowly but surely, he's been able to turn himself into something where all of a sudden now when the Cardinals have to make a decision on him as to whether or not he's going to, whether or not they're going to let him be exposed, that they keep him. Born in the United Kingdom, played for Great Britain in the 2023 World Baseball Classic. So good story there. And since his beginning his professional baseball career in 2021, he leads all minor league baseball players with a .298 career batting average, and he led the International League with 143 hits in 2024 when playing for Memphis. So this is just a really good story. This is just a fantastic story of a guy who has been able to turn himself into something. Again, undrafted out of a D3 school, born in the United Kingdom. Like that doesn't say big time prospect over it. And again, he never had prospect status, but he is somebody that, you know, high prospect status. He's somebody who's been able to put himself in this position. So we'll likely see, and we've seen him in spring training the last couple of years. He, again, a guy who's not going to embarrass himself. If Lars Nootbaar goes down to injury, and we've seen that before, and all of a sudden you need to throw somebody out in left field 3-4 times a week, Kupierniak is somebody who could certainly fill that role. Now, not everybody who needed to be protected to not be eligible for the Rule 5 draft were protected. I think most notably, Ian Bedell was not. He's a pitcher. He's a Mizzou guy. To me, it probably came down. I don't know what the thinking was behind closed doors, but in all likelihood, the thinking probably came down either Svaanson or Bedell was going to be one of those two guys, and they end up going with Svaanson. Trent Baker, Alex Cornwell, Andre Granillo, among other players who could have been protected and were not, and we'll see if any of them end up being selected in the Rule 5 draft. I could see a team picking up an Ian Bedell in the Rule 5 draft and seeing if he might fit as somebody who can be at the backside of the bullpen. So there will be some intrigue to the Rule 5 draft this year on if any Cardinals players are going to get selected by another organization. Also, the other small move that was made in all of this, Drew Rahm, who was injured pretty much all of this past season, was on the 40-man roster. he was able to clear waivers and he accepts the assignment, or he's reassigned. He stays in the organization is the better way to say that. He's now just a minor league player in the organization, being outrighted to AAA Memphis. So any team could have picked him up if they were willing to put him on the 40-man roster. No team was willing to do that. He had some good moments a couple years ago. He had that one start that was really, really good. And he was around all year long going through the rehab process. We saw him in the Cardinals clubhouse just about every day, but really didn't get to pitch because of injury. And now he is going to have to earn his spot back again. He's going to have to perform well to get back on the 40-man roster and also perform well enough to get back onto the big league roster as well. So those are kind of the moves of the day. If you've got any thoughts on them, feel free to share them. You can text in at 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. When we come back, we're going to get into the news of the last hour or so, the managers of the year being announced both in the American League and the National League, and the guy from the National League comes from the NL Central. We'll get into that in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to be with you tonight. We'll talk some Blues hockey coming up in our next segment. We'll hear from both Drew Bannister and Robert Thomas as the Blues are in action tonight against the Wild. And what do you know? We are going to see Robert Thomas on the ice, which is pretty crazy. And good on him, man. That says a lot about him and how hard he worked to get back. So a lot of credit goes to Robert Thomas for getting himself in position to be able to return so soon. A little more baseball talk, though, before we shift over to hockey. Went through the moves that the Cardinals made earlier today for the 40-man roster. Also today, it has been announced that the winners of the respective Manager of the Year awards, the Cleveland Guardians' Stephen Vogt, being named on the American League side of things, and then Pat Murphy from the Milwaukee Brewers being named the National League Manager of the Year. I didn't think Murph was going to win it. Because you look at what happened in New York with the Mets and the run that they went on, and I am a believer that there are coastal biases out there. So as good of a job that Pat Murphy did in Milwaukee, I thought that it was going to end up being Mendoza. I was wrong on that. Not only does Murphy win, he wins in an absolute landslide as he gets 27 of the first place votes. The only other managers who got any first place votes, Mike Schilt from San Diego got one of them. Carlos Mendoza got one of them. And then Rob Thompson in Philadelphia got one of them, which is a weird one. By the way, Oliver Marmol received a vote. I haven't seen they do release. We'll see if we can figure this out in a second. Oliver Marmol received one third place vote for the National League Manager of the Year award. And again, I'm of the belief that he did a very good job on it. So very good job this season. And I don't know if I would have put him on my list to do that. Okay, so here's the, we can tell you who it is. I'm look this up. So Oliver Marmol, where are you for a third place vote? Not trying to call. Okay. Oh, Keith Law. That's funny. A guy, that's perfect. That is so perfect because Cardinals fans hate Keith Law. They hate him. They hate Keith. Keith Law is like enemy number one of Cardinals fans sometimes, going back to things that he had said previously. And he had some, I think he didn't vote Adam Wainwright maybe as a Cy Young. Like he cost Adam Wainwright a Cy Young award one year, something like that. I'm trying to remember this. I wasn't living here at the time. But and then he went on to like try to defend it on one of the local radio stations. I don't know where he went, and he said some things, and everybody got upset. So it is just, it is perfect. It is a chef's kiss that Keith Law, somebody who many Cardinals fans have disdain for, would vote Oliver Marmol for the one vote because of just the way many Cardinal fans feel about Marmol. I'm fine with it. I think Marmol did a fantastic job this year with the Cardinals, all things considered. And again, you look at Bernie Miklas brings this up all the time. You look at the run differential and what the Cardinals' record should have been based off run differential alone, and you know, they should have been like a 69 win team. And they ended up being above 500. So, interesting. Keith Law had an interesting ballot. So he did go Pat Murphy number one, but then he went Arizona's Torrey Lovello number two. I don't think he did a very good job this year in Arizona. And then he went Marmol number three. So Pat Murphy wins it. Mike Schilt comes in second. He got 70 total points to Murphy's 144. Schilt gets 19 second place votes. Carlos Mendoza does come in third with 35. I'm shocked that he did not get more. Then Torrey Lovello came in number four. Rob Thompson, Brian Snitker, Dave Roberts, and Oliver Marmol round things out. So Marmol gets just the one vote and the one point there. So yeah, there you go. Oliver Marmol comes in. We can always say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 forever and ever. We can say Oliver Marmol was the eighth place finisher in the 2024 National League Manager of the Year race. I do laugh. I laugh a lot, actually. And this, you know, I had a front row seat to this because of all my years covering the Brewers in Milwaukee. I think the world of Craig Counsell. I think Craig Counsell is a fantastic manager. I don't really know what happened in Chicago this year, but I think he's a really good manager. So he never won Manager of the Year award in Milwaukee. And you think about those really good teams. You know, the Brewers have been the team that's kind of been in control of this division for a while. They had a team that won the Central and got to the NLCS, losing in seven games to the Dodgers. What was that, 2017, 2018, whenever that was. So, I mean, they've had some really, really good teams. And admittedly, postseason success is not part of this award. They're voted on before the postseason. But I think it's really funny that you think about how much success the Brewers have had in recent years and how much of that success was connected to their manager, Craig Counsell. Counsell received so much credit for the job he did, and he never once won National League Manager of the Year. And then Pat Murphy, in his first year running that team, he ends up winning the Manager of the Year award. So, congratulations to him. I did think it was interesting today, by the way. And again, we watch the Brewers and what they do every year, and we're going to play the same game. We're going to do and I'm going to be as guilty as anybody. We're going to be coming into the season next year, and people are going to be making their picks for who's going to win the division and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And what are we going to do? We're going to discount Milwaukee. We are, even though we see it year after year after year, we are going to sit here and we are going to discount Milwaukee. And then if they just keep doing what they've been doing, they're going to go have a successful season. That being said, one of the things that I talk about, and we had this discussion the other day, was it yesterday? We had the discussion the other day on the Gas House Gang about, you know, things that the Brewers do that the Cardinals could emulate and do better. And I think one of the things that the Brewers are really good at, it's allowing players to become the best version of themselves. It's always putting players in the best position to be successful. And today they had a kind of a funky position on their staff. On the coaching staff, they had a guy who was the Brewers run prevention coordinator. Like, that's not really a title that you normally hear. You hear about hitting coaches and pitching coaches and bench coaches and things like that. But the Brewers on their staff had this guy who his title was a run prevention coordinator. Super smart dude. They leaned on him a lot on some, you know, strategy things and items like that. Well, he is leaving Milwaukee. He is going to the White Sox to become their new bench coach. The guy's name is Walker McKinven. So he is out of there. So that's what happens. And some other Quinton Berry was their first base coach who really works well with like he does a lot of the base running coaching. He left to go to Chicago. He joined Craig Counsell in Chicago this year. So The Brewers lose people all the time. Every year, they lose people. They lose really, really good people who are really, really good at their jobs. And then they just replace them. David Stearns leaves. Matt Arnold does a great job. Craig Counsell leaves. Pat Murphy does a great job. Players, Devin Williams gets injured. Some dude that you've never heard of steps into the closer's role for the vast majority of the season, and he does a great job. Like the plug-and-play nature of what they do in Milwaukee is ridiculous. And they're going to trade away Devin Williams this offseason. I would think there's a chance some other guys get moved as well. We'll have to wait and see. We're going to get to the start of next year. People are going to be discounting them, including myself. I know what I'm going to do, and I can't stop myself. People are going to be discounting them, and then we're going to get into the season, and we'll see if they just do the same thing that they always do. But in all seriousness, congratulations to Pat Murphy for winning that award. I think it was well-deserved for what he was able to do there. And it would be really, really good if this time next year we're talking about a Cardinals team that overachieves in a big, big way with a bunch of young players, and we're legitimately talking about Oliver Marmol and being one of the finalists for this job. And I think the Cardinals are kind of setting up to, if they play above their skis, they're setting up for that. Because who wins Manager of the Year? Manager of the Year goes to either the team that starts horribly and just turns it on in the second half and has this remarkable comeback, or the Manager of the Year award goes to a team that exceeds expectations by just a ton. Every once in a while, you'll get like a Dave Roberts when the Dodgers are expected to be good and they're really, really good, and he wins it almost by default. But generally speaking, it's one of those two things. Either a team that started poorly and really turns it on, or a team that had low expectations and really exceeds those expectations. So because the Cardinals' expectations for next season will be a little bit lower than what they have been in recent years, who knows? Maybe this time next year we are discussing Oliver Marmol as being one of the finalists and maybe even winning. You never know. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk some Blues hockey. Robert Thomas back on the ice tonight. We'll discuss that in just a moment here on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line. As we shift gears talking baseball to talking hockey, the Blues are back at it this evening. And not only are they back at it, they've got a guy back on the ice. Robert Thomas has returned after, or he will return, after missing just 12 games with a fractured right ankle. That's crazy, by the way. That is absolutely crazy. He gets his ankle fractured on a slap shot that gets him right in the right spot. Nothing you can really do about it. And the timeline that was given at the time was 4 to 6 weeks. And everybody kind of scoffed at that and said, this is more of a 6 to 8 week injury. Or, you know, was that the one where they said he would be reevaluated in 8 weeks? I feel like maybe that's how they even termed it, or in 6 weeks. I feel like that's maybe the way they, anyways, he's back. He's back on the ice tonight after missing 12 games in less than a month. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Drew Bannister spoke with the media earlier today, as did Robert Thomas. We'll listen to a little bit from both these guys. And Bannister explained how Thomas was able to get back so quickly.
Since we went on the road, I think it was going to be a day-to-day thing at that point. We saw a lot of good progress with him on the ice and how he was feeling. Yesterday he came in, had a great skate, talked to the doctors, and he feels comfortable. The doctors are comfortable with it, and he's ready to go.
Seems remarkable. Is that just a combination of the will of the player, the effort of the player, and then
I mean, certainly, like, he's put in a lot of work to get to this point. Doesn't look like he's missed a beat. Like, he's in great shape. Obviously, he went away for a week, 10 days, 2 weeks to do some work in Toronto with his doctors there. And I think that really sped up the process. When I think we initially talked about it was 4 to 6 weeks, and we're a day earlier that 4 weeks. So, but it says a lot about the player and the work that he's put in and the willingness to get back and want to be back in the lineup for us.
Thomas also spoke on how he was able to get back so quickly.
Yeah, it's obviously frustrating being out, but I invested a lot in myself and pretty happy with the result and getting back so soon. So, excited to be back in the lineup and looking forward to getting in the trenches with the guys.
Also talk about, when Thomas felt like that there was actually the possibility that he could return after just such a short time being out.
Just a day-by-day approach. Started to feel better the last couple of days skating and, got to a point where, comfortable for everyone that I was ready to go. So pretty much just the last, you know, week or so. I wasn't planning on the road trip, but just wanted to be around the guys and take it day by day. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, he mentions the comfort in playing. If you're going to put him back out on the ice, you want to make sure that he's not compromised where there's more of a chance or a higher percentage chance that he could exacerbate the injury or re-injure it. He said that after talking through with the medical team that he's very comfortable playing and went on a little bit more just talking through kind of the medical side of this decision.
Obviously, things can happen, but it's at a level where you know, both me and the doctors are comfortable, and you know, that's the main thing.
Was avoiding any kind of surgery too paramount in all this too?
I mean, the last thing you ever want to do is get surgery. So that's definitely wasn't an option for me.
What did rehab actually look like for you? Like on a when you're able to start doing things, what were you able to do to help heal it?
Yeah, a bunch of things. You know, you try as many things as you can as possible. There's obviously a ton of new technology that could potentially help you heal. And you know, we'll keep that one behind the doors. But you try and do everything you can. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's so. We don't know what he did to go through rehab, saying he's going to keep some of that behind closed doors. But he was able to work with doctors and work with technology to be able to return very, very quickly. So now that brings up how he will be used. Mentioned earlier on the show, he's going to be back on the top line, centering Buchnevich and Kyrou. He's also going to run the power play from the point, something that's a little bit new for him from an NHL standpoint. So that's how he's going to be. That's going to be how he's used. And Bannister went through all of that and what it's going to look like.
One, you know, and they've had a lot of success together. Obviously, you know, we want to start creating more, a little bit more offense or creating our opportunities and being able to finish on them. I think it's something that he's going to be comfortable with, and Bucci too, to get those guys going. And I think it's just a good opportunity for them to get going here.
Thoughts on using him on the point of the power play?
Yeah, it's just a little bit of an adjustment that we're going to make. And I think you're going to see a lot more movement up top, and he probably won't end up there all the time, but there's going to be a little bit more movement, but he'll start there.
Have you discussed using him there as part of a five forward unit?
Yep. Yeah, we've talked about five forwards, but we like Flack there too, just to have the stability and the shot on that one flank.
So a couple things there. Let's start with his usage on the top line, where Buchnevich is going to move back out to the wing, and Kyrou is going to be out there as well. And you feel like this team has the opportunity to get the most out of Buchnevich, at least right now, working from a winger spot on that top line. And Thomas clearly is happy to be back with those guys and thinks very highly of his line mates.
You know, just watching the last couple games, I think those two have been playing really well. They've been creating turnovers. They've been getting lots of chances. Boston game. It looked like Ruzzi hit the post like four times in four shifts, and you know, those are going to start going in for him. And I think just speed, being all over the puck, supporting each other, being confident and making plays, you know, that's part of our game when we're at our best, and that's something I'm hoping to bring to them.
And then the other side of that is running the power play from the point. He discussed that and when the last time he really did that was.
It's something I haven't done in a little while. I like the way we moved out there. I thought we created a lot of good chances, and you know, I'm excited to try it in the game.
So have you done it before?
Yeah, I played it in junior, but not since then.
Yeah, last time he did it was junior hockey. So, but still, I don't think anybody's too worried about him being able to go out there and do that. But he's going to be asked to do a lot. Obviously, top line, being on the power play as well. First game back, coming back really early. And I think it was a legitimate question. Bannister was asked whether or not there's going to be a minutes restriction for Thomas tonight.
That's something that I'll talk with Tom around the bench a little bit. And we've talked to each other here before the morning skate. And we'll manage that and see how he's feeling. But I think his legs are there. Like I said, he's done an incredible job keeping himself in real good shape right now, and he's skated himself hard, so it's something we're going to have to watch, but I'll talk to him during game.
A lot was made of him going on this last road trip, and I think rightfully so, because that was the thing that kind of signaled, okay, this guy is pretty close to being able to return. So being on the road, he got an up-close view of what was going on with the team, a trip that saw them lose a game in overtime, win a game in overtime, and then just lose a game flat out as well. He was asked about how he feels like the team has played in his absence.
I think the last three games, they've been close games. Even Carolina, the 4-1 game, didn't feel like it watching. You know, that Neck has played a good game, and But, you know, we're right in every game. Everyone's battling. They're tight games, and you know, hopefully I can help bring them over the hump.
So he says that. He hopes to bring them over the hump, and you've been out for a while. I think the obvious thing is that you want to do as much as you can, and sometimes that turns into doing too much or trying too hard or items like that. And Thomas said that he's going to go out there and try to remain in himself and not do too much here in his first game back.
Being the guy that you know you can be, that's pretty much it. You can't get too complicated, too fancy early. You got to get back into the rhythm of the game, and it's tough being out for so long. You know, today was my first real practice with the guys, so it's going to take a little bit, but keeping it simple early will be important.
So Robert Thomas back tonight. One other Blues thing really quickly. Jordan Bennington's going to be in goal tonight. I think we can mostly agree that Bennington, even Hofer, they've done a pretty good job. They've been left out to dry at times by everybody in front of them. The numbers don't look great. Numbers don't look great for either of those goaltenders. Bannister was asked about that today, and I thought his answer was really interesting about how well or how not well the goaltenders have played for the Blues this year.
Yeah, I think if you look around the league, the numbers on all goalies are down. You know, so I don't think it is an instance just with them. I think the goaltending numbers have gone down across the league. You know, and I think both of them have played some real good hockey. Are they, you know, at the level where we saw them at the end of last year? Probably not, but they're pretty close, you know. And I think as a team, we got to be better in front of them too. You know, we got to do our part. And but you know, they're two great goalies. You know, we're very lucky to have these two guys. And you know, like I said, I think as a team, we have to be better in front of them.
Thought that was a really interesting answer from Drew Bannister, and it kind of confirmed it. If you listen to me a lot, you know that I'm not an eye test over what the numbers say guy. That's a lot of times I think, you know, especially in large sample sizes, I tend to look more towards the numbers. But I agree with Bannister there. I think the Blues goaltending duo has performed much better than the numbers would indicate. And a lot of those negative numbers I would blame on the guys in front of them and not so much those two individuals. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it. We've had a lot to talk about here in hour number one of the program. Went through everything going on with the Blues. They're going to get started over at the Enterprise Center in just a little while. They match up against the Minnesota Wild tonight. And let's all hope that the return of Robert Thomas is the start of something really good for this team. And we'll see. We'll talk about that a little bit more coming up on the program tomorrow. And the Cardinals and what, you know, there continues to be so much focus on what the 2025 Cardinals might look like. And not that the 40-man roster moves today tell us that much, but they tell us a little. And I think we start to get some ideas of who might get some opportunities come next year. Again, we talked about this when we went through it. If it came down to, and I don't know if it came down to this or not, it just feels like when they were looking at the 40-man roster spots and say they needed, they were willing to utilize one roster spot for a relief pitcher potentially, Svanson versus Bedell, they go with Svanson. Does that tell you that they are getting set for him to possibly have an opportunity this upcoming season? And I think especially from a relief pitching standpoint, you're not putting these guys on the 40-man roster if you don't feel like they've got the ability to help the major league roster right now. And that's going to be an area. They may trade Ryan Helsley. It seems unlikely that Andrew Kittredge is going to return. Who knows who's going to be the closer? Right now, I think Ryan Fernandez probably has the inside track for that job, although I would guess that's going to be a closer by committee where him and JoJo Romero and Matthew Liberatore would be the guys, assuming that Helsley is gone. But there's going to be opportunities for relief pitchers next year. So if you're Svanson, you feel really, really good about the decision that the Cardinals made today. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.